going to do an intro here?
We ought to have one of those.
Go ahead. I'll be back.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile of busy level intergalactic prairie studios. We alter your locus arrays by warming your synapses with rejuvenated radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 420 kelvins to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it? Well, me, it's Michael Runaway. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yep. I had a whole great show planned. I don't feel like doing it now. I'm going to let Jeremy talk.
Oh.
We had technical problems with another host, and, you know, sometimes things work, sometimes they don't work. Professionals try to make them work, but we couldn't make them work. So, you know, I guess the real gods are against us. But Jeremy comes from far away with tidings of wonder of places where technology doesn't matter. Tell me about your experience at the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest.
Yes, well, as Michael mentioned, I have just returned from the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, and it was wonderful. This is my second year going, and it was a much different experience for me this year because the BIPTOTS actually made it to the party this year, which was very exciting.
That was awesome.
Yeah, definitely changed the dynamic for me. And for those just joining in who haven't heard all the ads we gave for this forever now, the Midwest Peace Celebrity Fest is an event that's held. This was the fifth annual one held in Michigan, and it's where it's a bunch of libertarians, anarchists all get together and hang out for a few days in the woods, camping, trading, and just having a jolly old good time. So,
and then you come back to society, and I'm yelling at you.
Well, you know, it wouldn't be the same, you know, Michael.
Okay, there. So you know, you're back in reality when Dean's yelling at you. Yeah,
exactly. Well, like I said,
basically, for people that don't know what we're talking about, so Lisa was having problems. She and I got on early. I think Jeremy came in a little late, and Lisa and I were in the middle of horribly complex trying to troubleshoot. I don't know if it was horribly complex, but she couldn't hear me. And so when Jeremy came on, I wanted to know if, you know, she could hear him or he could hear her, because if he could hear her, it wasn't me, it's her. You know, hey, baby, it's not me, it's you kind of troubleshooting. Which, you know, we had to determine, and Jeremy came on, I said, can you hear me? And he said, no, I can't. And like, and there were a few more words before that. Like, I really didn't know if he could hear me, and it really frustrated on top of other problems I'm having with just technology and a whole bunch of things and people doing work for me and, you know, people threatening me and me threatening them. I had a weird week.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, that escalated quickly. Look who's talking. But yeah, so basically, you know, the teaching hospital moment here is when you get on a show where there may be technical problems and you pop on in the middle of a conversation and someone says, can you hear me? It's probably stupid to say, no, I can't hear you. Or, you know, or no, but you said it more like, I can't hear you. You know, like, I thought you really couldn't hear me. It's just, you know, when you troubleshoot. And then I had, like, go through this sequence of, like, the order of what she probably should have her write it down. But the order of, like, here's the troubleshooting order to try to restart your computer and get back on. It was kind of like, you know, when you see Apollo 11 or whichever the movie was about the moon, where they had, like, you know, the computer wasn't working, so they had to write down the whole sequence, and they wrote it on the wall in the space capsule, and they had to manually do everything the computer was supposed to do. It was kind of like that. And I don't know. I really wish, after all these years, that some fiends could do things that I've tried to teach them to do. Jeremy does a show that he did before he was on here. But let's see, do any other current fiends do a show? I've kind of been hoping, I'm hoping Lou starts a show. Lou's threatening to start a show now.
I think he made that, he started to make that announcement over the weekend, I believe. He
over
was busy.
The weekend he stood up on a table and said, I'm starting a show. I know he's interviewing people, recording it.
Yeah, he was doing a bunch of interviews. Yeah, that's exactly what he was doing, and he's compiling them. And I believe his intention. I don't want to speak for Lou, but I believe that's his intention.
Yeah. Well, you know, he registered a domain name I don't know if I want to give it out, but you know, for like the Lusander Fiend show, I don't want to give it out because there's not much there yet. And really, it's best practices to announce a URL after there's something there to look at. Remember how websites used to always have the under construction, you know, icons? Remember that back in the 90s?
Yes.
Yeah. It's ridiculous, but
Well, wasn't that like just a page holder essentially? They just wanted the domain and they wanted people to go there and know that we exist.
But I've actually heard people announce them like, I have a website. It's going to be at blah blah blah. Go there next week. No, it's not how it works. You know, the attention spans on the internet are not such that you announce something and say, go back there later. You know. Unless you're, I don't know, Julian Assange or something, you'd probably get away with it. But so Lou's had this domain for, I think, 4 years, at least 3 years, because I'm hosting it. And he keeps saying, you know, like every year when the domain's due, I'm like, hey, you can let this expire. He's like, nope, here's $10. Keep the, you know, re-register it. I'm like, okay. But, you know, he has all these interviews he recorded with his Zoom H2 over the weekend. And I said, what are you going to do with them? You know, you can put them on the, not on the Fiend site, but on the Fiend's blog. And he's like, well, I think I'm going to put them on the site that will not yet be named, finally. I'm like, cool, good.
Yeah.
I hope he uses the noise reduction plugin in Audacity, because he said there's some background noise in some of it. But, you know, depends what the noise reduction, the noise is too, because noise reduction plugins,
doesn't always work.
They work really well on constant noise, like hum. They work excellent on 60-cycle hum. They work good on, you know, like steady wind, but they don't work well on like people talking or intermittent wind. Or they work well if, like, let's say you're sitting in a next to a car that's running, but it's idling at the same speed. But they don't work well if you're recording in a car that's accelerating and decelerating. You know, so I mean, basically the way they work is you sample, you know, like a quarter second of the noise, and then apply that as a filter to reduce it all. And if it's done, I do it sometimes on the Freedom Fiends when, you know, this is another headache for me, is when people do a show and don't notice it. Although really lately, a lot of it's been Phil, and I love Phil as a host, but Phil just can't solve his technical problems. I really think it's, you know, what I told Jeremy one time, get a better house before you do another show with me. I think there's something about his apartment, either that or his microphone, because he's tried like three computers, you know, all different positions. And it's like, you know, sometimes there's background noise. Sometimes it's, you know, some of it's noise in a room. Some of it's electronic noise. And I don't know. I feel like I'm the only person that can hear this stuff. And then, you know, other people can't hear it. And I don't know. Bad audio is a hate crime. Anyway.
Well, you do have better ears for this stuff than most people, Michael. So that.
Yeah. The thing if I can hear it and other people can't, you know, I mean, it would seem to make sense. Well, it doesn't matter then if other people can't hear it. But the thing is, there's a thing about audio where even if people can't say, okay, like, so say you had two things that were the exact same content, same person talking, you know, one has a little bit of noise that I can hear that most people can't consciously pinpoint, and the other one doesn't, the one without the sound is going to get more views, or definitely at least more, like, all the way through or nearly all the way through listens, because people can't really pinpoint it, but they'll just say, oh, I'm going to watch this later if it has background noise. You know, they just subconsciously, it fatigues the ears quicker is the best way to describe it.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but no one cares. I watched something today of Pete Ayer, who's a really smart dude, and not Pete Ayer, the other one, Ademo. I don't know. I get them mixed up. Are they the same person? No, they're different.
I don't think they're the same person.
I know, but it was one of them. Like, it was a video for Cell 411, and it was like, I literally think it was recorded in a pot grow room, because he's in a room that's kind of dark and looks like it has, like, you know, dark plastic on the wall, like kind of garbage bag material. Mm-hmm. And it sounded like there were, like, motors pumping liquid nearby. You know, I really think he's like, oh, you know, here's a good location, a grow room next to the pumps. No, no, no. And I commented on it. I've started commenting. I've got a little, like, three key combination I do with this. I have this thing called, it's pretty cool, I recommend. There's this free program called Phrase Express, all one word. And it's from, like, It looks really Windows 3.1. And you can, like, set up, you know, blocks of text and then just type, like, you know, two or three letters and it types the whole thing for you. You know, things that you do frequently, like your, you know, address, phone number, disclaimers, you know, don't bother me telling me to make my software for other things, you know, things like that. Things that you type over and over and over and over. And I have one that says, bad audio is a hate crime, all in caps with an exclamation point, and then the hashtag B-A-I-H-C. Yeah, that was good audio. The dog sound. I like dog sounds. I heard that.
Oh yes. Oh, that's funny. I've taken Murder Dog's collar off before a show, but I forgot to do so tonight.
I'm fine with it. I like pet sounds. You know,
I know
the album as well as the concept. Do you know the album?
I actually I've heard of it.
Beach Boys.
Yes.
It's like Beach Boys, Sgt. Pepper's. You know, it's their like grand opus.
Yeah, I know most of the songs from it. I don't think I've actually ever held the album or listened to the whole album, but yeah, I know it.
Yeah.
Well, I actually started taking off Murder Dog's collar. I mean, I try to get the audio here as good as I can, obviously, but I also do it because it drives me insane when I record my own show, and then I edit it, I hear it back because I hear the show over and over and over again as I'm editing. It just drives me insane to hear it constantly, so I just started taking.
To hear
off
what
the dog's
dog sounds? Off. Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, not dog sounds, just the collar, like that clink, clink, clink.
Yeah.
Because as you were talking about before, like with Audacity and how you know the noise filters. I mean, I use the next step up from that, which is Adobe Audition. But yeah, when you have those sounds
Fiend
that are like
Fiend phone.
Can you hear me now, Lisa? Hello. Nah, hey, she can't hear us. She's gone. She knew it. Power. That's good. She left. We're going to try during the break. Yeah, you know, the thing about a lot of people are kind of retarded about noise. They'll say, oh, it's okay that those pumps are running in the grow room while I'm making this video. I'll take it out in post using noise reduction. But no, you don't want to fix it in the mix unless you have to. Like, basically, noise reduction is for when someone brings you audio of something historic that can't be replicated, and you know, they were retarded, so you take the audio and fix it. But doing any kind of noise reduction, slightly and greatly reduces the overall quality of audio. So you don't want to do it unless you have to. The idea is record good audio, man. That's the plan, you know?
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to troubleshoot Lisa. I'll be back. It's my life, troubleshooting people in audio.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateurs, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
I guess Lisa's going to come back to try again. We're going to talk about, I'm going to ask you more about Michigan Peace and Liberty Fest. Midwest. I always call it Michigan because it's in Michigan and like over half the people there are from Michigan. And it's the Michigan, what's the organization that puts it on?
Yeah, that's the reason I confuse it, because it's the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition that puts on the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. I did it last year when I interviewed one of the people who put it together for my show. I did it like three times during the episode. I kept screwing that up. And then this year I like beat it into my head before we had another guy on to talk about it, just to make sure I got it right this time. So yes, I understand that mix up.
Yep.
But it was a good old time. I mean, there was a lot of fiends there, you know, Lou, me, Randy, Nick, although I know Nick's on sabbatical.
Both Shanes, right?
Yes, Shane Radliff and Shane Buell.
Yep.
And James Weeks. And then of course some former fiends.
Fiend phone.
Can you hear us, Lisa? I hope you can hear us. She can't hear us.
Hello, Lisa.
Yeah. Oh,
so sad.
I just hear noise. Yeah.
But all right. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, was there, and that was exciting. So I actually got to finally meet him after knowing him not only as a, you know, as a fan of the show, but I stumbled across Ben a while ago on Twitter and started interacting with him. And, you know, I've talked about plenty of times. He's had a huge, I mean, I know you and Ben are best friends, Michael, but he's been a huge influence on my life. And finally getting a chance to meet him, it was kind of a funny scene too, because I got to the campgrounds and I checked in at the check-in tent, and I went to go drive my car through the area to go find a good place to camp. And as I was driving through the apple orchard, I see a couple walking through, and this gentleman with this very longish grayish beard, just walking my way. And I kind of just yelled out the window to him, "Hey, you look like somebody I should know." And as soon as he heard my voice, he obviously recognized me, and he said, "Jeremy." And I heard that voice, Ben's voice. And I almost forgot to put the car in park as I yelled to my kids, "I will be right back. Daddy just has to go say hello to somebody." And I stopped the car and took off and just like gave him a big hug. And that was really cool. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to say goodbye to him because we missed each other that morning. But it was really cool to have Ben around and just see him and Cindy hanging out. After all the stories I've heard about them, you know, it was just one of those weird experiences. You know, last year was the first of that for me, getting to see these people that I had known either just through the interwebs or, you know, different, you know, co-hosts that I had been doing shows with for, you know, however long, that all of a sudden now I have like them right in front of me. So it's definitely cool. And it didn't stop this year because there was more people. There was that festival, the Midwest Peace Celebrity Fest, is growing. So there was more people this year. There was some more bigger name speakers giving speeches and talks and stuff like that. And so it's still, you know, I get to see people now that I know, and now I get to see more people for the first time. So that was really exciting. And like I started to say in the first segment, it was definitely a different experience for me, because last year, as I wanted to bring the Bip Tots, but unfortunately they weren't able to make it. So, you know, I got to go have fun by myself with just me and the dog. And, you know, got to experience a lot of things, you know, maybe imbibing some different substances, shall we say. And,
were you drinking mead?
Yeah, no, I actually
mushroom
didn't have
mead.
That would have been good, though. But
mead's horrible.
I don't know about that. But anyway, so this year with the kids, obviously, I couldn't party hardy as much. And while that may seem to some people like that would be kind of a bummer, it was really cool for me, because this is the experience I wanted my kids to have last year. Not, you know, getting to come out and not only just spending time with me, but also getting to be around a bunch of other kids, kids in their age range that come from families that, you know, kind of think more like me. And also just getting out to be in the woods and do all this stuff. And the most important thing, I think, and this is also true for, I've heard already from some parents who brought their kids that are a little bit older than mine, just the opportunity for them to see what the life their parents talk about kind of looks like in reality, you know, aside from the fact that we're living in, because I said this to one of my friends, my friend Derek, and she kind of laughed and said, "Oh, you mean like we're all going to live in tents in the future?" I'm like, "Well, no, aside from that living in, aside from being in a tent thing as you're camping, just the community, everybody being together, you know, people setting up their little shops and hawking their wares, you know, whatever they brought from
home." I have a theory. I have a theory of how to bring about a libertarian paradise. It's basically you get enough Liberty festivals, at least in America, year-round, like that there's always one going on, and you just follow it like people used to follow the Grateful Dead. You just live on tour at Liberty Fest.
There are people that do that already, and I think it's a pretty groovy way to live. Meow.
There's not enough Liberty Fest. We'll talk about it, though. Meow.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
How about a warning? You're about to share with my friend Michael W. Dean, a survivor, things about humanity and his methods for dealing with it. Brace yourself for some bare naked honesty. If you're willing to hear what Michael is saying, there are times when you'll laugh and times when you want to cry in the retelling of his truths. He has defined it so you can feel it. Take his example and live. I warned you earlier because this book is written in the same way Michael speaks. He's a straight shooter, a no pretense, a no excuses kind of guy that I love like a brother. Understanding how we are to deal with negative people, Michael has answers for you. The human race has its aberrations and monsters, and unfortunately, sometimes they are close to you. Michael gives you his take on them and how he handles the noise. I can guarantee you will pick up a tool to use from a user's manual for the human experience. As Michael says, his life is a teaching hospital.
A user's manual for the human experience. Kindle, paperback, and audiobook. Get it now on Amazon. I feel a little better. Things are under control. Yeah, I had, we're going to go back to Michigan in a minute, but I
wish I could go back
week.
To Michigan, Michael. Don't tease me like that.
I had a tough week, including that, like, we finally kind of got ahead. Like, it looked like we were getting out of our money problems, you know, like, okay, we can pay the phone bill, and pay the credit card off, you know, like, and then I got this $600 doctor bill that I have to pay for services I did not receive that I can't not
Whoa.
Pay. Yeah. I was getting allergy shots for like a year, and it just wasn't helping. And it was like, I think it's making it worse. And, you know, so I talked to my primary care physician about it, and he's like, yeah, if you don't like it, stop it, you know? And so I called the allergy place and said, okay, my primary care physician told me to stop, which is the word you want to use if it's true, because that's the wording that, you know, like it matters to insurance, you know, if a doctor ordered it.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're like, okay, but you know, since you, signed that document we put in front of you a month ago, we just mixed your serum for the next couple months, and insurance won't pay for it now because you're not using it, so you have to pay for it. I don't think they mixed it. I think they were like, oh, he's quitting, quick, mix the serum, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And can't get out of it, $600 bill. And
That's crazy.
Ugh. Yeah.
Wait. Is that? I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a little naive here. But is that in the fine print of some kind of contract somewhere? Like, how are you responsible for when they produce the product for you?
Oh, they because every, you know, four times a year, they mix the serum for that, you know, the coming 3 months or something, and refrigerate it. It's, you know, and they hand you a document and say, sign this.
Oh, so it is.
You know,
there.
Yeah, I signed a doc, you know, there's nothing immoral about what they did, but it's just kind of like, ugh, you know, like life is just punching me in the stomach. It feels like,
oh, that's.
You know, and really it was, I don't think I should have been doing allergy shots to begin with. I don't really know that I'm a candidate for it. And I kind of think it's hoodoo. I think it works for some people. But, you know, the idea is basically that they inject a little bit of poison in you every week for the rest of your life. And it makes you immune to those poisons in the environment. But it harmed me getting the shots. I mean, first of all, like going once a week to get three shots, you know, like every time it was three needles, like two in one arm, one in the other, they'd alternate arms. And, you know, the arm would always kind of swell up a little bit and get a little histamine reaction. And then I'd kind of feel like I had a flu for about 12 hours and then it would get better. But yeah, it was just, I didn't like it, man. Yeah.
That doesn't sound pleasant at all. But I've heard similar experiences from other people I know that have taken those shots as well. So, but
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I know people who love animals and take stuff like that because they're willing to put up with whatever just so they can be around them. But you know, like you mentioned, you know, you think they're a little bit of a hooey. You know, I've known other people and I've read studies on people that have, you know, essentially desensitize themselves without doing shots, like, you know, introducing themselves slowly to animals and then over and over and over again. You know, again, doesn't work for everybody, maybe even just only works for a small percentage, but it seems that the shots work for the same type of percentage in the opposite direction. So I guess it's willing to work.
I mean, I don't know that it's hooey, and it basically kind of works with the same idea as vaccines. And unlike a lot of people, I don't, you know, just say that vaccines are horrible outright. I think there's a little bit of problem sometimes with how they're you know, attributed or you know, just the whole thing. The whole thing kind of bugs me, and I think it's kind of a racket, but I think it kind of works too, you know, and it can harm people. And I don't think it causes autism, though. And the guy, you know, the study, do you know about the study, the autism study that everybody quotes about vaccines? It was like one guy did a test with like 20 people, and which is way too small of a group to really have any definitive answers. And then later, you know, gave a statement that he made the whole thing up.
Yeah.
You know about that?
I've heard that, although it gets linked to other people who didn't actually make anything up because they just read the studies wrong because they wanted to get what they wanted to get what they wanted to get. But there's been plenty of stuff back and forth. But I've talked about that on other shows. I don't think it causes it either. And I actually had my ex, my baby mama, who's been working in with children with autism for, geez, like 15, almost, I guess, between 15 and 20 years at this point, maybe now. Well, we're 40, so yeah. So yeah, 15, 16 years. And she's pretty high up there because she was somebody who came up with a program that everybody else wanted to implement. So she used to go around giving talks about this. And she told me, you know, years ago that there was a, you know, growing consensus, I guess, within that community, people who are actually involved with people who have children who have autism, that they didn't think it was caused by vaccines, but more so that it seems so almost intuitively that, well, there's these, you know, some people are candidates for it. And there's just, you know, there's just something, something triggers it. Because most children don't come out autistic. A lot of them, it starts to develop later on, you know, a little bit as they get a little bit older. And yeah, there's a trigger that sets it off, and it's different for everybody. And what they were coming to think, and I believe my ex told me that she was kind of on that path, that's what she was thinking too, that it's just the vaccines just happened to be the trigger for these particular children. So where it looks like the vaccine is causing it, it's just causing the reaction inside the body to trigger those genes to be like, oh, it's time now, type of deal. So
I thought I thought it was the mercury preservative, not the vaccines themselves, allegedly.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, the claim, I guess, whatever it was, because, you know, I mean, mercury is not very great for you, of course, obviously, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's, well, just like most of the other controversial topics like that, there's so much disinformation and misinformation on both
there's
sides.
There's also so
thing.
Much fake science, yeah, on both sides of anything. And I saw some recently, it was John Oliver, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, which is generally a pretty good show. And, you know, the guy's an inveterate lefty, but he's one of the good ones, you know, in the same way that, like, Edward Snowden's one of the good ones, but he's not as good as Edward Snowden. But he's, you know, he gets it right on a lot of stuff. But he did one on vaccines, and just there was so much pseudoscience in it. And he's like, but anything in an English accent like sounds authoritative to Americans, I think, you know. But it was like,
yeah, it does, of course.
You know, and this scientist said that, you know, this amount of mercury would never be allowed even in tuna fish, you know, mercury does exist in fish because they're at the bottom of the food chain and they eat other fish, we eat other fish, and the mercury doesn't go away, and this would not be allowed. And in fact, the kind of mercury in these vaccines is a completely different kind of mercury than in fish. And I'm like, yeah, but that doesn't have any, you know, it could be a worse kind. Like, you know, yes. There was nothing scientific about that statement of it's a different kind of mercury than is in fish, you know.
Yeah, the different doesn't mean better necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know. I believe that anything that's stated authoritatively with a British accent, and especially with, you know, a hipster laugh track, Americans eat it up.
Well, sure. That's the you know, that's the residual effects of, you know, being under the thumb of England for all those years.
Hey, we're gonna lose our talk radio license for saying that possibly vaccines might have some use. Yeah, we're the only people saying that on talk radio right now at this hour. Hey, Lisa, I got good news. Lisa's headphones are broken. See, I am so good at troubleshooting, and I learned to troubleshoot when I was a kid playing electric guitar. So I, you know, I had like an electric guitar, two effects pedals, and an amp. And then if something didn't work, I would I got to the point where I had duplicates of everything. So if something didn't, particularly, so if something didn't work, I could replace one thing in the chain until I found the thing that didn't work. So what I told Lisa to do was I said, do you have Skype? And she said, yeah. And I said, okay, so go off Fiend phone, go on Skype. And Skype has something called Skype Call Testing Service. And I say it like that because it is a female British voice. Have you ever used it?
No, I didn't even know that existed.
It's an option. Like, when you install Skype, it's, like, the only thing that's built into the address book. You know, it's the one address. Like, you can make a call to it or the phone number, the phone book. Skype book. Yeah. And you you call it, and it says, hello, you have reached Skype Call Testing Service. At the beep, please talk. After the beep, your voice will be played back to you. If you do not hear your voice, there's a problem with your microphone or your headphone. Or no, with your microphone. You know, because headphones are working if you can hear the, you know, British part. So I told her to do that, and she wrote back and said, yep, mic works, headphones don't work, I'll order one tonight. And I said, do you want a list of them? And I sent her, she said, yes, please. And I sent her the list on fiendphone.com on $20 minute audio school, which is the page where I tell people how to do good audio, and it takes 20 minutes to read on average. And at the end of it, it's got a list of headphones, of five different headphones, ranging from $16 or I think $11 to like $90. So it's like $11 is the ones that work, up to $90 are, you know, the ones that Dr. Dre actually uses in the studio instead of Beats by Dre. Because I've seen a picture of Dre in the studio after
he's not,
Beats
he's
by
not
Dre.
Using those beats.
No, he's using the same ones I am. Let me take them off and look at them. It's the Sony MD. I can't read it. I'm old. My eyes are red. But yeah, well, it's dark in here too. But yeah, so and, you know, for the Sony MDR-7506, they're $80 now. Yeah, and I link in that article a picture of Dr. Dre wearing them in the studio. Beats by Dre would be horrible headphones to mix an album with because they're really bass heavy.
Yeah,
they're for listening to music.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
like
their purpose.
Like you would if you're wearing those in the studio, you're going to make your record bass light. You know, because there's so much bass on them, you're going to turn down the bass in the mix. Yeah, so I have a list there of Sony and Sennheiser headphones from $19 to $80 that all work with Fiendphone. They all have the right jack for this mic, the mics I recommend, and they're all closed ear, not open ear. And, you know, for Fiendphone, you have to have closed ear, not open ear, but not sound canceling. You don't want to use sound canceling headphones.
Yes, because that would be bad.
Do you want to talk more when we get back about Michigan? Or
sure.
Yeah. Yep. And then
we can go back there.
Let's go back.
Like I said, I wish I could go back there. Is it next year yet?
Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
I didn't see you come in there. I'm glad I stopped criticizing that person we both know.
It's because you're talking to me. Talk right
Not
now.
Lisa. Someone else. Someone else with sound phones. All right. During the break, I had to scan something. So I've got a scanner in the basement that I only bring up when I need to scan something, which is far less and less and less as years go by. It's like once a year, maybe. And the scanner I have only works with my Windows XP laptop.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yep, so I had to bring it up because the Windows XP laptop is actually working 24/7 now as the server for cussfreeliberty.org. It's running Windows Media Player and BUT is a piece of software that stands for Broadcast Using This Tool, and it's what we broadcast to the streaming server company that I rent the streaming server. I rent two streaming servers now, one for the Fiends and one for Cuss Free Liberty, and they're like $206 a year. And yeah, so I'm butting. But right now I'm actually like really testing the power of this little computer, this XP computer with two gigs of RAM. And it's running those two programs plus scanning at ultra high res into Photoshop, and it's still working as a server. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm. Nice. I'm scanning the front cover of my first book from the year 2000, Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women, because I am getting that ready for Kindle, which is a long involved process because the only copy of it that I have, other than a book, and the book's way out of print. I don't have the Quark computer files anymore. I have a PDF, and I converted it in Google Drive to a Word document. And I'm going through, and there's like, when you convert from, you ever convert from PDF to Word, there's always big formatting problems.
Yeah.
But, so I'm going through that and fixing it. And also, like, correct, it's a good book, but there's a lot of typos in it. Like, when I wrote it, I didn't know the difference between then and than. I mean, it's full of typos like that, plus a lot of formatting issues. And, you know, this thing that Quark did where it, like, breaks words in the correct place at the end of a line, you know, to, like, put the dash and then ing on the next line or whatever. And those are all intact in the Word document. But the thing is, I want to put it on Amazon on the same page as the Kindle. We're going to talk about Michigan next time. I want to talk about myself in this and my books.
That's quite all right.
And the Fiends. And how everybody should go review the Fiends, review the Fiends software, review my books. If you've seen my movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, please go review it on Amazon if you have an Amazon account. If not, if you have an iTunes account, go, you know, review the Freedom Fiends on iTunes. Go do the Freedom Fiends iPhone app on Amazon. Just please go out and review things. It really helps us. It helps us a lot more than sending me an email saying, you guys are great, blah, blah, blah. You know, like, tell the world that and then send me a link to that. That's a lot better. I'm going to start asking this for this on every show because I realized we have a crap load more listeners and consumers of all these projects than we have reviews of these. And reviews help drive stuff, you know, and as I said last night, it's your libertarian duty. Yes, I said duty to review things, not just our things, anything. Like, really, that's how you make the government go away, is by using Angie's List and by using, you know, writing reviews on Amazon and eBay and everything. And, you know, for my new Kindle book of, what's it called? You know, that book, User's Manual Experience.
Yes.
Yeah, that thing. I had a really funny experience with reviews. So I bought some rings recently. One of the rings, I bought them from China. They're like $12 for these like steel biker rings that are pretty cool. You know, big gaudy skulls and stuff. I like rings like that. So I got this one that had, it was a cat's eye being held by four cat's claws. Not a real cat's eye, even though it's from China. I didn't take it off before I washed my hands the other day, and as soon as I pulled my hands out from under the water, the little eye thing fell out of the mount. And I'm like, geez, that's ridiculous. And I'm like, I'm going to go change my review from good to bad on eBay because it's my libertarian duty. And I went on there, and I scrolled down the page looking for the place to review it, and I saw stuff I didn't see when I ordered it. It was like warnings, like, don't shower with this ring. Don't get it wet. Don't sweat with this ring, it said. So, like, I'm like, hey, I can't give it a bad review, you know? I didn't read the contract, and it wasn't even hidden. It was, like, just down the page in big with pictures. Like, someone showering with a line through it. Like, don't shower with this. Don't shower ever, but yeah. So, review our stuff. It's good.
Yeah.
You don't have to have bought this stuff on Amazon to review it on Amazon. Like, if you saw Guns Weed, The Road to Freedom on YouTube, you can go review it on Amazon if you have a... Yeah. So I don't have the cover to this book, so I'm scanning the book to put on the Kindle cover when I put out the second edition.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Peace Plaza, on the artificial satellite Lip Pair 2017, in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a FIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at FIPCOT.org.
Yeah. It's not our fault the music sounds drunk. It's out of our power. Well, I mean, I guess we could be not on radio, but there's a lot of complex math as to why the music sounds drunk. The music itself doesn't sound drunk. Oh, man, that sounds bad.
You hear
that? That sounded bad. Yeah. Well, basically, it's like there's... Oh, I've explained this so many times. It's got to do with the cuss dump building.
Yes, the LA, yes.
You know, Daniel, or who's the board up now?
Andy.
You know, you can just turn the cuss dump off. We don't cuss on the Freedom Fiends. Well, these two don't. And it just sounds drunk. That's my suggestion. You can take it or leave it. So we want to talk about people who don't understand economics and how stupid they are. So there's a lot of things that sound like they make sense to children. Like, there shouldn't be people that have a lot when there's people that have nothing. So we should take all the money from the people that have a lot and give it to the people who don't have much. So then everybody will have something. That makes sense to a child. You know, communism makes sense to a child. When they don't realize that if you do that, you actually end up with everybody starving. Because when nobody can get ahead of other people or, you know, get cool stuff, nobody has the desire to basically run the gears of the world that, you know, do things like keep the power running and keep food coming and things like that. So, and of course, there are inequities that could be fixed. I mean, there are people like Donald Trump, who only became rich by using government guns on little old ladies and throwing them out of their house to take their property with the government's help and make it into a limousine parking lot for a casino that later failed. That shouldn't be allowed. But another thing that makes sense to children, and by children I extend that up to any age, you know, a lot of people that grow up nowadays I would call adult children, perpetual adolescents, people that think everything should be done for them and they don't really have anything anybody wants. You know, the funny thing is too, people always say those people they'll be begging for something different when they finally get into the real world and they have to deal with it. No, they'll never get into the real world. Most of those people, a lot of those people will stay in academia. And they'll be able to continue to live off the fat of people who work for a long time. Yeah. Or they'll become musicians or actors or, you know, some other world where reality doesn't matter. Where you're paid to pretend.
Yeah.
So we saw this thing. It was a meme on Facebeef. It's a picture of a rapper. I think it's, God, I should know who that is. Who is that? You know who that
I
is?
Couldn't tell you. I'm horrible with this stuff.
Yeah? Nima Haddadi would know. Where's Nima? Let's wake him up.
Nima. Quick, give us an answer. I don't listen to rap, so I don't really know.
It's
Lil Wayne.
Who is that?
Maybe.
Lil Wayne. It is Lil Wayne.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's just one of the names I know.
Yeah, well,
I probably wouldn't be able to pick him out of a lineup normally, so I
he's probably been in a lineup. He's a rapper.
That's racist.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that a lot of rappers would say you got to be in a lineup or you can't rap. You know, in the same way that, like, they used to say you can't play the blues on a guitar that hasn't been in a pawn shop. I think that's probably true. Maybe, to an extent. What do you think? Yeah? No? Okay.
Yeah.
So, that is Lil Wayne. I actually found that picture of him in that same shirt and that hat. So, yeah, it's Lil Wayne. So, I'm going to make this friendlier for radio, but it's a meme. And by the way, this was a meme that was a video of a still image with no audio, which is kind of cheating. Because I think what it is that I think that Google favors, and probably also Facebook, favors anything with video over just still images. So somebody cheated and made this. Yeah, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but it's
no, man,
really,
you gotta,
it's, yeah,
you gotta beat the algorithm somehow.
Hey, that's a Lil Jon quote, isn't it? Or a Lil Wayne quote.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gotta beat the algorithm somehow. Exactly. Yeah, I think he said it differently, but he's basically said the same thing. So Lil Jon, Lil Wayne, boy, that was racist. They all look the same to me. All those Lil rappers. Yeah. And it says, this picture, this fake video, still picture that's a video of Lil Jon, it's him smiling. And it says, maybe if we overpaid teachers and underpaid rappers, there would be smarter kids and less poopy music, less crappy music. So, first of all, I think the target audience here is white people. You know, who instantly go, oh, guy with facial tattoos who's smiling, who doesn't look poor, must be a rapper, and that's all bad music. That's my guess of what people think of this, because I don't know. I don't like a lot of rap, but I love some rap. There's some really beautiful, wonderful rap.
I was a fan of the more old school stuff, you know, back
yeah,
in the
I like N.W.A.
80s, 90s.
I listened to that album hundreds of times. The
N.W.A., Public Enemy.
Straight Out of Compton album, yeah. Yeah, I saw a really funny meme today, man. It was like before and after of several things. And one was like before marijuana and after marijuana. It said before marijuana, it showed Ice Cube like looking gangster holding an AK-47. And it said after marijuana, it showed like Ice Cube. Did I say Ice-T? No, Ice Cube. Some other Ice. Cube. They all look the same. It was Ice Cube from NWA holding an AK-47 looking like he's ready to murder you from an NWA photo, press photo. And then it said after, and it showed like him smiling in a car with children from one of the Disney movies he's in, Disney-like movies. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. But so the implication here being, oh, and I really like, can't remember. Some other rapper, some guy. The guy that said, the guy that has the song the black dude that's really anti-Obama, but he got in trouble because he said Glenn Beck is racist. That guy? People are screaming at their radio. All of the rap music fans that listen to conservative talk radio are screaming at the radio because I don't know who it is because they saw him on... I'm going to Google, Glenn Beck is racist.
Let's see what we get.
Beck is racist. Yeah. Tuck.
Yeah.
Rap.
The story sounds familiar, but I can't remember.
Yeah. Lupe Fiasco.
Oh, there you go.
Words I Never Said. I have wept at the beauty of that song. It's a really cool song. But he got in trouble because he said that Obama's a racist, I think. Yeah, Obama. No, it talks about Obama. It says Limbaugh is a racist. Glenn Beck is a racist. Gaza Strip was getting bombed. Obama didn't say blank. That's why I ain't vote for him next one either. I like that. I like that line. That's why I don't vote for him or the next one either, you know, especially when so many black people were like, oh, my God, it's finally true. A black president. Yeah, who just acts like all the white presidents. So don't vote. You're just encouraging them. But so this meme that says, maybe if we overpaid teachers and underpaid rappers, there would be smarter kids and less crappy music. So first of all, it makes it sound like, you know, the same pot of money pays rappers and teachers, which it doesn't.
Yes.
Because rappers are paid out of the free market and teachers are paid out of governments
largely
saying this is what they're owed. And even like teachers that, you know, sexually molest kids that haven't been convicted yet that everyone knows did it, like, can't be fired. They put them in a room where they show up every day and look at the wall and read and
tenure,
they just can't
man
be fired. Yeah, tenure. Yeah. But
well, this meme's wrong for so many reasons.
Name some.
Well, aside from the idea that you're referring to, that you know the money for these two particular professions does not come from the same trough necessarily. The fact that I always take issue when they say, you know, if we overpaid teachers, you know,
I was gonna say already. First of all, they're mouse pocketing us, but it. Teachers are overpaid. They don't make that much. I mean, they make like what? Like,
well, it really depends.
30, 40,000, 50, but they make, if you include the pension and you include the benefits, they make, you know, like 80,000 a year.
Oh, no, but even more than that. I mean, I grew up in a house of two public school teachers. Mm. My mom was making
dirt.
My mom was making, when she finally, you know, I mean, obviously she was doing it for a few years, quite a few years before she retired, but I saw her pay stub during the process of getting my house because she helped me out with that. And that was like going back 10 years. And she was getting upwards of 100K a year.
Whoa!
In a public school.
Yeah. If we overpaid, so let's see. If we took the teachers that we can't fire, even if they molest kids, and paid them $200,000 a year, there'd be more smart kids. Is that the idea? I guess so.
But so
your mother not one of the people. Your mother did not molest kids.
No,
but there are teachers that molest kids that can't be fired. They just don't teach. They just sit in a room. The room of, like, it's like detention for teachers. Do you know about this?
I've heard of it. It's kind of the equivalent of a cop being put on getting desk duty.
You know what's funny too, when they put cops on unpaid time out. Sometimes they stay home, but sometimes they put them, you know, like they're not allowed to go on the street and then they put them like in charge of the evidence or something. Is that a good idea with a crooked cop that kills people?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, here. Make evidence disappear.
Yeah, exactly.
You and all your dirty cop friends.
The high salary of people like my mother is obviously not the standard across the board. Because yes, I'm sure there's inner city schools.
Louisiana, they probably make less. But
I was going to say depending on where you are. But teachers do get paid. But the problem is, you know, they want to think that these people who make memes like this and the people who promote stuff like this want to think that it comes from the same trough. But they don't realize it's like some teachers do get paid a heck of a lot of money, and then the money that's supposed to be used for the schools. Almost like I think 50 to 60% of it in pretty much every school district goes to the administrative fees.
Yeah,
you know, to the bureaucracy. It goes to the people who make these memes.
The people who make these memes wish it came from the same trough. They wish they could vote on how much rappers get paid.
Oh, of course.
We'll be back to yell at people who failed public school, who went to public school, and that's why they can't do economics and make memes like this.
Thanks, we'll government. Back.
I went to private school.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Teachers versus rappers. I think that's the name of the show. I just sent Lisa an email. I had a thought. So, she said she tried the Skype call testing service and knows it's her headphones. Now, I wonder how she knows it's not her microphone. Because if she heard, well, I guess if she heard nothing, it'd be the headphones probably. And if she heard something but not her, it'd be the microphone. But I told her to try the headphones before she decides it's the headphones and buys headphones. And this is the teaching hospital part of the show. I suggested to her by email that she try the headphones on a phone, you know, like on her phone, listen to an MP3 that's coming through the speakers and then plug the headphones into the phone. And if she still doesn't hear it, then it's probably the headphones. So, yeah, like I said, the key to troubleshooting anything, really anything, but especially anything mechanical or electrical is replace parts that work with known parts Replace parts that you're not sure if it works with known parts that work until you figure out which part doesn't work. Now, the only problem is if one of your replacement parts doesn't work, like, you know, if the jack on her phone suddenly, headphone jack suddenly stopped working at the same time she tried to do this, but that's doubtful.
Yeah, that's...
All right. So we're talking about this ridiculous meme that has a lot of views, by the way, and it's called... It says, maybe if we overpaid teachers and underpaid rappers, there'd be more, there would be smarter kids and less crappy music. Yeah, and it has, this has like 60,000 likes on it or something. So I said,
well,
I
that's
said,
a this whole post lot of stupid.
It is. It's not most people that went to public school. So I said, this post entirely ignores the mechanics of the market, probably because whoever made it was taught by a public school teacher. And somebody, the person who posted it, said, well, explain the mechanics of the market as you see it, which is actually a pretty decent reply to that. You know, like, he doesn't come off with a if you, you know, ad hominem or just screaming at me, you know, autistic, weaponized autism. You know, he said, well, okay, tell me. He said, explain the quote-unquote mechanics of the market. You know, really, I'm surprised he didn't say, explain the mechanics of the quote-unquote market as you see it. That'd be the real proper lefty idiot response.
Yeah. But
he
said,
go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, because that response, when I read that, I read it, you know, in a snarky voice. But even as a snarky question, it's still more intelligent than the other stuff you described. So, yeah, it's still a good one.
And it's more decent than most snarky replies of most people that post things
exactly.
like this.
Yeah, and, that's what I'm saying, so.
And he didn't really come back and argue with it. I mean, he might have just gone on to something else, shiny things, falling down a wormhole. But,
ooh, shiny,
you know. Yeah, but I said, well, the mechanics are things are worth exactly what people are willing to pay for those things. Crappy music is worth more than crappy teachers. Also, crappy teachers are worth even less because in a non-government situation, a situation without coercion, without artificial price fixing like we have now, most teachers currently teaching in public schools wouldn't even make as much as they do, and they currently make a lot when you factor in benefits and especially pensions, though the few good ones would make more than they currently do, and I really believe that. I think that in a true free market, maybe not. I mean, it depends how much you decentralize teaching, because I really think... I think that all of the knowledge you need to learn is current, that, you know, any school could possibly teach you is currently on the internet, probably up and including like medical school and law school. But really, I think all you need is like, you know, a docent who walks around, you know, basically like someone who walks around the room. If you want to have formal teaching, you know, basically someone who can read and follow a course plan, who just, you know, logs the students in the room into Khan Academy, K-A-H-N or K-H-A-N Academy, and just, you know, helps them with problems with their mouse and their keyboard or something.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, in a freer society, I mean, who's to say there's even going to be schools with teachers anyway? It doesn't, you know, it may not even be a necessity. It could be if people clamor for that, but yeah, the good ones probably would be paid better. But I mean, school's largely overrated anyway, and even both of my, you know, former public school teaching parents have come to that conclusion eventually.
Yeah.
They realized what a scam it was. I mean, I think it was, who was it? I'm going to lose the John Taylor Gatto, the guy who wrote extensively about, you know, who's a former teacher, but who wrote extensively about it, the horrible, you know, how horrible schooling actually was, said that, you know, realistically, I think kids only need like five to 800 hours to actually learn everything they need to learn in school versus the 15,000 hours they're forced to.
I learned how to read before I went to school. My mother taught me.
I learned on my own.
Yep. Couldn't keep me away from the library.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Yep. Freedom Fiends. This is going to look weird. I scanned this cover of this book, and it's got, literally has coffee stains on the book cover. I've actually seen that, like, book designs where, you know, they put coffee stains so it looks like there's a coffee stain on the Kindle version and stuff, but there's actual coffee stains on my copy of my book. The user, starting to cover the beautiful women. Yeah, so, I mean, it looks like a scanned book. I scanned it at 1200 DPI, and the file, the TIFF file is, the non-compressed TIFF file is 375 megs. And now I'm trying to rotate it so it's completely level, you know? Like, I kind of just threw it on the scanner and scanned it, and I figured I'd fix it later, and it's... Yeah, and I'm like, at this point, I'm moving it like 0.2% clockwise and things like that to get it right, and using a guide in Photoshop. I never use guides. You know what guides are? They're like the lines that aren't really there, you know, like the graph lines that you can overlay.
Yeah,
but I'm using them because I care. All right, so go on MichaelWDean.com and buy the new Kindle version of my book, User's Manual for the Human Experience, and review it on Amazon. I'd appreciate it if you review it. Appreciate if you buy it too, but, you know, people are buying it. They're just not reviewing it. But maybe they're still reading it. This version's only been out for a week, but yeah. So do that. Help us. Tell people. Tell two friends. That's what I say. So we're talking about, are we done with school, with rappers, school versus rappers? I mean, I guess, what's the final thing on that? What's your final ruling, your honor?
Oh, it's a post made by idiots for idiots. That's my ruling on the matter.
It's probably a post. I wouldn't be that surprised if it's a post made by the paid head memer for, like, the Teachers Union of America. What's it called? What's the union called? Oh. The union's called the same thing as something else. It's weird. The abbreviation is something.
I thought it was... Yeah, I always forget what it is.
Yeah.
I thought it used to be the NEA, but...
NEA, that's it. Yeah, because it's the same as the National Endowment for the Arts. It's the National Educational Association. Yeah. Yeah, that meme was probably made by some out of work. It's probably one of the teachers. Maybe it's one of the teachers that can't teach because they molested kids, but they can't fire him, so they put him in charge of making memes. What do you think? Allegedly, not a guarantee.
Yeah, I was going to say,
for entertainment purposes only. Yeah. So Bitcoin's in the news. That's how people do talk radio. So Bitcoin's in the news.
What is this Bitcoin? Everybody's talking about.
It's kind of funny because it's like all of a sudden, Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies are getting to the point where, you know, people that buy stocks are trying to buy Bitcoin. Like, people that were, you know, 5 years ago said, Bitcoin is a Ponzi scheme and it's not backed by anything and they can make more, so it's worthless. Yeah. I mean, there's even ads, like, I've heard ads for new cryptocurrencies where they try to make you think they'll perform as well as Bitcoin. I think we heard one. At some point, yeah. But, your mileage may vary, I think, would be the underlying thing there. But so it's kind of funny that to me that Bitcoin is now being, you know, there was an article in the Associated Press, which is basically where all the other news outlets get their news from. And there was an article in, I think it was the Wall Street Journal recently. It was Wall Street Journal. I have a, what's the thing that we have on our TV, the little thing we watch our TV on, Jeremy, that's not a computer, it's like a thumb drive that's a computer?
Roku,
yeah. On Roku, there's a Wall Street Journal news channel, and I watch it occasionally just to see what's up. And, you know, it gives you all the options, the little news stories. It's kind of cool. You can pick the stories you want to watch. It's not like the news where they feed you the news. It's, you know, where you can pick your own fake news.
Pick your own imaginary reality.
Yeah, make your own. What are those stories called for kids? Make your own adventure.
Yeah.
Of false news. So the one on Wall Street Journal, there was the one called "What is Bitcoin?" And it was a little like 60 or 90 second, probably a 2 minute news piece of, you know, the news piece always starts with the pictures of the physical Bitcoin, which barely exist, if ever. And, you know, they were something people made kind of like jewelry a while back. And there were ones you could actually use like a paper wallet and put some Bitcoin in. But that's not what Bitcoin is. But that's what people think. That's what stupid people use when they do an article about Bitcoin. Like if you search articles about Bitcoin written by the mainstream press, like three quarters of them, the picture is a picture of a physical Bitcoin, which is not really a thing. It was a thing, you know, Cassatius coin, and there have been some others, but it's not really a thing, and no one uses them. Hardly anyone uses them. And Cassatius coins aren't made anymore because for some reason, I think they arrested the guy or threatened to arrest the guy for making them because they said he was minting money because they don't understand what money is. And to the point where Davy Barker made medallions, like bas-relief medallions, kind of like pins, but they're nicer than pins. You know, they're metal, like sort of like the merit badges you get in Boy Scouts, kind of like that kind of badge that, you know, You know, buttons that cost 25 cents each to make. These cost like $3 wholesale to make or something. They're cast. And he made some that looked like a Bitcoin logo. And he had them a few years ago. He was selling them at Pork at him and said, "We're stopping you because you have Bitcoin." And, you know, these idiots hired off of a pizza box who aren't smart enough, probably not smart enough for the army. That's how not smart they are. Like people at the TSA who are, you know, the people that molest your grandmother and you say thank you for your service, that kind of people. those people probably were shown, I would almost guarantee that at some point they were shown some orientation, you know, PowerPoint presentation that was probably 20 minutes long about how, you know, people are going to try to sneak money out of the country in Bitcoin and you have to be out on the lookout for it. And they probably went on Google Images, searched Bitcoin, and one of the first images that come up is that stupid, stupid picture of the physical Bitcoin. They probably put that somewhere in the PowerPoint presentation and the, you know, government molesters hired off of a pizza box at the TSA thought that's what Bitcoin is. You know, there was no Bitcoin in it. It was pictures. It was, it was art. It was jewelry, basically. But they detained him and threatened him. And it made national news. I mean, it was like written up in possibly the Wall Street Journal. I think that was one of the outlets. But so the Wall Street Journal had this thing of what is Bitcoin in their news feed. And I watched it. And it said that, you know, Bitcoins cost about $30 each and blah, blah. And I'm like, they're reusing something from like 4 years, 5 years ago, you know, and they didn't fact check it to see if it's still not current. Isn't that ridiculous? Yeah. Bitcoins are about, how much are they? Let's look them up. Yeah. Go ahead.
Especially I was going to say, especially for an organization which is supposed to be as reputable as the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. Yeah. $2,445.22 is the current price of Bitcoin. And, you know, it was within a few hundred dollars of that when I looked at this a while ago, a couple weeks ago, maybe. It was over 2,000. But, yeah, $30. So that was outdated. And then the one in the Associated Press was, like, never accurate. They said that, you know, it was highly flawed. It said that Bitcoin transactions take between a few seconds to 90 seconds. Now,
I wish.
Yeah, I wish too. they, at one point when Bitcoin was working before it became broken, and it's supposedly going to get fixed soon, but it's really, the blocks are full. So transactions don't happen quickly, and you have to pay like $5 transaction fee to get them to happen, you know, within an hour usually. But they used to, theoretically, they're supposed to take 10 minutes. They've never taken a few seconds, but you can see the transaction broadcast to the network, but that doesn't mean it's confirmed. And anybody who's intelligent will not release something that they're being paid for until there's at least one, if not up to six confirmations. You know, generally two or three confirmations, yeah. You know, unless it's a huge ticket item like a car or something. With a car, I would wait for six transactions. But, you know, with most things you order online, as soon as it has one or two confirmations, meaning the transaction has been in one or two blocks, you know, it's considered confirmed. But, you know, that one block is supposed to be about 10 minutes. Two blocks would be 20 minutes with Bitcoin. You know, Bitcoin transaction does not confirm in a few seconds to 90 seconds. That's crazy, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Associated Press.
Well, I mean,
which is, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say. I mean, it could just be, you know, shoddy reporting and likely has something to do with that. But, you know,
well,
I always think that, you know, especially because it is becoming that there's been a lot more chatter from the Congress critters about trying to do things to stop Bitcoin. Things like that make me think that maybe, just maybe, you know, articles like this are, you know, could very well be put out there to, you know, dissuade the people we were referring to earlier, the economic dum-dums who don't understand economics and have only heard, you know, little things about Bitcoin can go, oh, they're just dismissing it. You know, if they put all this bad information out there, you know, people won't even bother to get into it, won't pay attention to it at all. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if an interesting thing about this is the this infographic, you know, when you look at the URL on it, it's Thomson Reuters. I think Thomson Reuters now owns the Associated Press. Let's look that up. But Thomson Reuters, owns what? Or was that is that the competing organization?
Yeah, I thought Reuters and the AP were competitors, essentially.
Okay, so it was AP. AP was embedding an image from Reuters. Okay, so the other source for news, Reuters, you know, Reuters and AP is where most news comes from. You know, people just pull it off. They call it the AP wire. It used to be a teletype going da 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 in the newsroom. You know, when you see old TV shows and you hear the sound of a teletype machine, that would be the thing hooked up to AP or Reuters. You know, most places would subscribe to one or the other. But Reuters, Thomson, that owns Reuters, that made this mistake originally, publishes most of the textbooks in America.
kids. Unrelated completely.
Yeah.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
How about a warning? You're about to share with my friend Michael W. Dean, a survivor, thinks about humanity and his methods for dealing with it. Brace yourself for some bare naked honesty. If you're willing to hear what Michael is saying, there are times when you'll laugh and times when you want to cry in the retelling of his truths. He has defined it so you can feel it. Take his example and live. I warned you earlier because this book is written in the same way Michael speaks. He's a straight shooter, a no pretense, a no excuses kind of guy that I love like a brother. Understanding how we are to deal with negative people, Michael has answers for you. The human race has its aberrations and monsters, and unfortunately, sometimes they are close to you. Michael gives you his take on them and how he handles the noise. I can guarantee you will pick up a tool to use from a user's manual for the human experience. As Michael says, his life is a teaching hospital.
A user's manual for the human experience. Kindle, paperback, and audiobook. Get it now on Amazon.
I didn't realize she slithered that close to me to sleep. And I just shifted my foot a little bit, and she just looked at me with this, like, indignant look, like, how dare you?
Yeah.
I'm napping.
You know, I'm, speaking of rapping and murder dogs, I always thought murder dogs sounded like a rap name, but it's what you call pit bulls. But I'm reading an article that was linked off of some article about, when I was looking up who, you know, who that rapper was, and I searched rappers with facial tattoos and figured out that that was Lil John,
Lil Wayne.
There's an article linked on that page called 10 Rappers Who Have Killed People. Oh, murder. That's hilarious. All right. So we were talking about Thompson, who owns Reuters, who runs the country and influences the children. Actually, probably has a lot more influence on children than your average teacher, because they publish most of the textbooks in the country. And I'm currently negotiating with them. It's kind of weird. They own the copyright, if that's a term, on three books I put out. And I think that the copyright is expired. So I contacted them to try to find out if I own the rights to reprint it. And if so, I'm going to probably put out updated versions of $30 Film School, $30 Music School, and $30 Writing School as Kindle books for a lot less than $30. I'm pulling my old stuff out of the drawer and reprinting a lot of it, and also writing something new. But I mean, nobody I dealt with even works in the industry anymore, or at least not for the same companies. Like, I, you know, my agent doesn't do anything with that company anymore. That company's been bought out by another company. Like, it was originally for a company called Musk & Lippman. Musk & Lippman's been bought out by Course Technology, who's been bought out by Thompson. I mean, like, I had to figure out, like, who's, you know, I wrote to the former president of one of those companies. I had her email. She's like, oh, I remember you. How are you doing? And, you know, here's the name of the person you've never heard of that you should be talking to now. And I wrote them, and he's like, okay, you should talk to my assistant. Tell her what books they are. She'll look it up. And, you know, it's taken him a couple days, each email back and forth. But hey, they're busy people. They're running the world. So thanks, Thompson.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Salvador Dali is being dug up. They're exhuming his body. A court has ordered his body be exhumed for a paternity test. And it's kind of funny because it looks like from the video, from what I saw, it sounds like the person isn't even trying to get part of his estate. They're trying to just prove that they're his kid. You know, like, they're suing to be up for bragging rights.
Yeah, it's gonna, that was weird. My first thought, bragging rights, because it's like, yeah. No, because I tell people all the time, they don't believe me. I'm so tired of being ridiculed. Here's what I'll
government,
do.
I want government guns to tell people not to tease me when I make these claims. Yeah.
They must dig up the body of this person that I swear is my father.
Yeah, it just seems weird, man. He's been dead since 89. I mean, like, what's left?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been a while, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you can get DNA from bone marrow sometimes.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've done it. I mean, I've seen enough of those crime shows and stuff like that to know that, you know, it is possible. You know, everything degrades over time, but you can find some of it.
I absolutely am going to be cremated. That's in my will, and I really hate the idea of being buried.
I think I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're not buried, there's nothing to dig up and poke, and, you know, there's nothing to desecrate. There's nothing to, you know, no one's going to make an app to, like, find the wind where your ashes were spread in the air, you know? If it's not one spot like with G.G. Allen. All right, we got a minute here left. So let's read the cop puppy raid. So, yeah, this pulled up. So cops always, I've been seeing more and more of this kind of news. Like, you know, cop saves puppy from tree, which is in news, that's called the puppy parade. You know, at the end of the news, after all the horrific stuff, they put what's called the puppy parade in newsrooms. And it's the last couple minutes of the show. And they, you know, make you happy with a parade of puppy news. So what's the puppy headline real quick?
Oh, kind-hearted police officer adopts stray kitten brought to the station during night shift. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guy stumbles upon a cat on his patrol, brings it in.
And it's news.
While waiting for animal control, falls in love. And then they bring him. I adopted cats.
Where's my puppy parade?
Seriously, man.
I adopted a cat that was dying, and it's so healthy and full of life now. Where's my parade? I guess this is it. This is my parade. But, yeah, they have to put puppy parades about cops like this, because cops shoot dogs and black people and white people all the time. So, you know, they have to offset it with some fake news. It might be real news, but it's fake news because they have to say it like this. Worms.
Worms.